This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A CDC reversal. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, July 28. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Centers for Disease Control is updating its guidance, saying vaccinated people should wear masks indoors in certain situations.
Emotional congressional testimony from cops who fought against rioters during the January assault on the U.S. Capitol.
America's top gymnast, Simone Biles, has pulled herself out of the Olympic all-around final. We'll take you to Tokyo for an update.
And the mountain of medical debt created by the pandemic.
What they're saying that means is things like getting calls from a collection agency or being behind on the bills or having to change your lifestyle in order to, you know, to pay down your debts. You know, maybe you're paying a lot less on groceries or expenses to do it. And what the survey is showing is that this is a growing problem.
Andy Keshner at MarketWatch on financial hardships created by things like a COVID infection, decreased income, or lost health insurance coverage. Get out your whiteboard. The CDC is changing its COVID guidance again, thanks to the Delta variant. The agency is now recommending that vaccinated people resume wearing a mask indoors where there's high or substantial transmission of the virus. In addition, the CDC recommended that K through 12 schools adopt universal masking for teachers, staff, students, and visitors, regardless of vaccination status. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
The highest spread of cases and severe outcomes is happening in places with low vaccination rates and among unvaccinated people.
Meanwhile, the CDC emphasized that COVID-19 vaccines remain effective at preventing severe illness, hospitalization, and death. The mask recommendations are a reversal from just 2 months ago, when the CDC said vaccinated people no longer needed to mask in most settings. It also shifts the guidance on schools after it said earlier this month that only teachers and students who aren't vaccinated would need to wear masks in schools. An emotional day of testimony from four police officers involved in defending the U.S. Capitol building during a riot 6 months ago. Yesterday was the first day of a public hearing by a House Select Committee investigating the events of January 6th. Capitol Police Officer Aquilino Gonnell said that he and fellow officers were beaten repeatedly and that he thought he would die.
On January 6th, for the first time, I was more afraid to work at the Capitol than my entire deployment to Iraq.
D.C. Metro Police Officer Daniel Hodges.
Cut off from our leadership, which was at the front of our formation, we huddled up and assessed the threat surrounding us. One man tried and failed to build a rapport with me, shouting, "Are you my brother?" Another takes a different tack, shouting, "You will die on your knees."
More than 535 people have been arrested in connection with the attack. Meanwhile, the Senate has reached a bipartisan agreement on a $2 billion supplemental spending bill that would, among other things, add funding for Capitol Police. More surprising news from USA Women's Gymnastics in Tokyo. The world's best, Simone Biles, announced earlier today that she will not compete in the Olympic all-around. Biles is the defending Olympic gold medalist. She says she won't compete so she can focus on her mental health and would continue to be evaluated to determine whether or not she would compete in event finals next week.
Yeah, I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself.
Her announcement comes a day after she pulled out of the team final after completing a vault yesterday. She told reporters that she was not physically injured, but she was not in the right mental space to compete safely or effectively. USA Gymnastics, the national governing body of the sport, said it supports Biles' decision. 21-year-old Jade Carey of Phoenix, Arizona, is the replacement for Biles, who is undefeated, by the way, in all-around competition since 2013. Coming up next, frustration with the unvaccinated.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Woo! Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices in Windows 10 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Following a similar announcement by New York City, Los Angeles city workers are now required to be vaccinated against COVID-19 or get a weekly negative test. LA has emerged as a hotspot for the Delta variant in recent weeks. Meanwhile, 7 months after the first coronavirus shots were rolled out, vaccinated Americans are growing frustrated that tens of millions of people are still refusing to get them. For example, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey last week lashed out amid a surge of cases in her state, telling a reporter it's, quote, time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks. More from Dan Diamond, national health reporter at The Washington Post. Dan, take us through this.
The Delta variant, which is spreading very quickly, is forcing a lot of new thinking. And one of the areas of focus has been, why are so many Americans still not getting the vaccine, including so many people who work in healthcare settings? As many as 4 in 10 nursing home staff may not have been vaccinated yet. So that has driven medical groups, it has driven employers, or specifically government leaders, like in New York City, in California, at the VA, the Veteran Affairs Health System, to mandate either vaccines or the requirement to get a weekly test, in some cases, proving that you haven't had a coronavirus infection. So that's where we're at, and I think that there will be more coming. This is the tip of the spear in some respects, healthcare as an example for other businesses that may follow.
Why nursing home staff? Why is that rate so low? Any idea?
It's pretty surprising. I asked the association that works with nursing home folks, and their take was it just needed more time for education. As the head of the American Nurses Association told me, nurses are people too. If you work in healthcare, you are more knowledgeable about these things. And overall, parts of healthcare are far more vaccinated. Doctors are well above the national average. Nurses, I think, are at about 83% or higher vaccinated. Nursing home workers, though, they may be in settings where they haven't had as much access to background on the vaccines, they haven't had as much training, and frankly, there are a lot of myths and concerns about vaccines that came fairly quickly and have yet to be fully approved by the FDA.
Wow. Also, the White House is now calling this the pandemic of the unvaccinated, right?
Yes. This is the new message for a couple of reasons. One, it's true that people who are unvaccinated are the ones who are getting sicker or dying overwhelmingly. I've talked to hospital leaders who say that 80% or up of the cases in the hospital are people who are unvaccinated, that all the deaths are among people who are unvaccinated. Not to say that people who are vaccinated can't get sick, but that the concentration of cases is with the people who have less protection. At the same time, Gordon, I did talk to a patient advocate yesterday who said we should be really careful about making people who are unvaccinated feel like they're being penalized when in some cases they might not have any control. People who are unvaccinated might have a medical condition that requires him or her to get an exemption from the vaccines. So not all unvaccinated people are against the vaccines. There are some who desperately want it and for whatever reason still can't get it.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dan Diamond, national health reporter at The Washington Post. His piece is called Frustration Mounts Over Vaccine Holdouts. We've seen more Republican leaders speak out about this too.
In the past number of days, that's definitely been a notable turn. There are Republican leaders like Governor DeSantis in Florida, like some of the members of the U.S. Congress, who have said vaccines do offer important protection. This is the way to go. It's a much more aggressive pitch after some months of being more passive on this issue. I still think, Gordon, we're seeing plenty of Republicans who are attacking the vaccination rollout. They've cast President Biden's pitch for a door-to-door campaign into something sinister. I followed one of those door-to-door campaigns around several months ago before President Biden even started talking about it. These are volunteers going door-to-door, just offering information. They're not forcing vaccinations, as some Republicans have alleged. So not every Republican is singing from the same same tune, but there are more who are pushing the benefits of vaccine than we were seeing a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and I still wonder about the holdouts because, as it was pointed out in your story, the irony here is that the people who are vaccinated seem to be treating this all more seriously than those who are not.
Right, right. I've spoken to folks about their mask wearing, and there's been some interesting polling on this. A couple of months ago, the CDC had said, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask in most places. So people have steadily cut back on wearing masks, including people who are unvaccinated, who heard that message and said, maybe I don't need to wear face coverings all the time either. That wasn't what CDC meant. The goal was to actually encourage unvaccinated people to get shots too.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Diamond, national health reporter at The Washington Post. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot held its first hearing with emotional testimony from four law enforcement officers who defended the building that day. The officers spoke at times angrily about the physical and psychological injuries they sustained and gave a rare firsthand look at the types of attacks they and their fellow officers suffered, D.C. Metro Police Officer Daniel Hodges.
A woman called us stormtroopers. Another woman, who was part of the mob of terrorists laying siege to the capital of the United States, shouted traitors. More found appeal in this label and shouted traitors at us as we passed.
Two of the officers were visibly upset.
Number two.
Simone Biles will not defend her Olympic title. The U.S. gymnastics superstar withdrew from tomorrow's all-around competition to focus on her mental well-being. The decision comes a day after Biles removed herself from the team final following one rotation because she felt she wasn't mentally ready.
I've just never felt like this going into a competition before, and I tried to go out here and have fun, and warm up in the back went a little bit better, but then once I came out here, I was like, no, mental is not there, so I just need to let the girls do it and focus on myself.
It's not clear if Biles will participate in next week's individual events.
Number three.
The CDC is changing course on some masking guidelines, recommending that even vaccinated people return to wearing masks indoors in part of the country where the Delta variant is fueling infection surges. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
CDC recommends community leaders encourage vaccination and universal masking to prevent further outbreaks in areas of substantial and high transmission.
Meanwhile, President Biden says his administration is considering requiring all federal workers to get vaccinated. His comments came a day after the Department of Veterans Affairs became the first federal agency to require its health care workers receive the vaccine. We know about the stars and the record breakers at the Olympics, but what about some of the other stories drawing attention? Well, Bermuda is celebrating its first ever Olympic title thanks to Flora Duffy's win in the triathlon. The win gives Bermuda, with a population of 63,000, the smallest nation or territory to win Olympic gold. Surfing made its debut at the Games with Australian surfer Owen Wright making an incredible comeback from a traumatic brain injury by winning the bronze medal. And Isabel Wirth of Germany became only the third athlete to win a gold medal at six different Olympics after winning equestrian gold in the team dressage.
My goodness. Thank you, Jen.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you, and to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. First, the pandemic hit families with a 1-2 punch of sickness and massive unemployment. Now, as the country sees signs of economic recovery, a new survey spotlights the pandemic's continuing jabs, mounting medical debts. Here's this morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
Here's yet another consequence of the pandemic, mounting medical debt. MarketWatch's Andrew Keshner is here with a closer look. Andrew, how are we defining debt problems? Who says what?
Well, debt problems, in the eyes of the Commonwealth Fund, foundation that focuses on, you know, healthcare in America, what they're saying that means is things like getting calls from a collection agency, or just being behind on the bills, or having to change your lifestyle in order to, you know, to pay down your debts. You know, maybe you're paying a lot less on groceries or expenses to do it. And what the survey is showing is that this is a growing problem.
Are different demographics and or races facing different problems when it comes to debt?
Yes. the survey took a look at different points on that too, and it was saying Black and Latino households, or the the participants in the debt were more likely to be saying they had debt problems. You know, for example, survey participants who are Black, the ones who said they had debt problems, it was 55% compared to a 38% national average. And that's sort of a reflection of the pandemic as a whole, how it has really hit hard on minority communities.
Now, is a lot of this tied to the fact that people lost jobs and also lost their health insurance, or has the Affordable Care Act stepped in and helped some of those people, or a combination of both?
You know, I think it's a combination of both. They were asking, you know, what sort of things contributed to the medical debt, and 63% who said in the last year they had lost income and lost health insurance coverage said they had medical bill problems, and that makes sense. I mean, because if you're not going to have that coverage, all of a sudden, if you have to, go in COVID or otherwise, you have these bills and no insurance to defray the cost.
We're speaking with MarketWatch's Andrew Keschner. Now, how is all of this impacting people's credit scores?
It's definitely giving a dent. I talked to Credit Karma. It's a platform that, among other things, it offers free credit scores and lets members shop around on loans, et cetera. And about 21 million members of Credit Karma had $47 billion, with a B, in medical debts that went into collections in April.
That's this morning's Jennifer Koschenka with MarketWatch reporter Andrew Keschner. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Staying sharp is how businesses stay successful. But the guys at Harry's, they took it literally. Their business stays sharp because their products do. In a recent study, Harry's customers said their eighth shave was as smooth as their first. Redeem a Harry's trial set when you go to harrys.com/deal and see if you agree. They craft their blades in their own German factory to make sure they meet their high standards. They're so confident in them, they offer a 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And the bottom line is, you get a great shave and end up looking pretty sharp as a result. Harry's is giving their best offer to our listeners. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/deal. You'll get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to try Harry's today.
This is America's First News, preparing you for the day ahead with headlines and in-depth analysis. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday, July 28. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The CDC is reversing course, now encouraging masks be worn by vaccinated people in certain situations. Police testify about the January riot at the Capitol. Strong wind and potential thunderstorms today could impact efforts to contain several western wildfires. Biggest second quarter profit ever for Apple. Swimmer Katie Ledecky wins gold in the 1500 free. Dual meteor showers tonight and tomorrow morning for you sky watchers. And the airport piano player who got a big boost from Instagram. That story in about 20 minutes. More surprising news from USA Women's Gymnastics in Tokyo. The world's best, Simone Biles, announced earlier today she will not compete in the Olympic all-around. Her announcement comes a day after she pulled out of the team final after completing a vault yesterday. We take you now to Tokyo for an update from Rachel Axon, reporter at USA Today. Rachel, what are we learning?
Yeah, Simone Biles, USA Gymnastics announced that she would not compete in the all-around competition here tomorrow. Of course, I'm sure people saw in the team final she withdrew from that competition yesterday after one event. She had went to do a vault that she normally does pretty easily. It involves 2.5 twists, and about halfway through it, she did 1.5 and kind of fell out of the air and just didn't have it, and said she was, struggling with mental health issues, and so she did not compete the final three events in the competition. The U.S. went on to win a silver medal, and so question was, what if any individual events that she would do, and at least right now that is not going to include the all-around.
Give us a feel, Rachel, for her demeanor while taking questions from reporters.
I saw her in the press conference after. Everyone was surprisingly positive, you know, very much trying to give credit to her teammates who, the finals and a team final in the Olympics are 3-up, 3-count. So, without Simone in the lineup, that meant everybody was going up on every apparatus and it counted. So, congratulated them for the silver medal and really stressed the importance of, taking care of your mental health and, knowing what you need.
Yeah. I presume there have been no earlier signs of this or hints about mental illness or mental stress?
Well, I definitely wouldn't say mental illness. Clearly, many signs of mental stress. You know, she is the greatest gymnast that we've ever seen in this sport. She has 5 Olympic medals from the Rio Olympics, in addition to her silver here in the team final. The most accomplished in the world championships, and she came back for, another cycle when she didn't need to, and she's 24 years old. Her body definitely feels it sometimes, and the pandemic, pushing the games back a year, there's definitely a lot of things that she said in the lead up where, she's just ready to get through this, ready for this to be done, ready to have a break. So the stress of it, and, because of her success, she's, the biggest star, one of the biggest stars of these games. And that comes with a lot of pressure and attention. So, a lot of athletes are talking about how that's, including Michael Phelps today, about how that's not at all surprising and really applauding her for taking care of herself.
Wow. We're speaking with Rachel Axon, reporter at USA Today. She's with us from Tokyo covering the Olympics. We're talking about Simone Biles now not competing at the Olympics all-around competition. Still no word about the individual apparatus competitions, I guess?
Yes, that's correct. There's women's all-around is tomorrow. She will not do that. And then there's a 2-day break in the gymnastics competition before event finals start. They have not announced whether she will compete in those yet or not.
Oh. Explain a little more about what the swimmer Michael Phelps said with regards to Simone.
Well, obviously everybody knows Michael Phelps is the most decorated Olympian that there has ever been. And he, on NBC this morning was talking about some of the things he's been very public about with his struggles with depression and suicidal thoughts and, just the pressure that comes with being in those positions and, really, applauding her for, prioritizing those things and taking care of them and not just trying to soldier through and not just trying to, kind of suck it up and keep going.
Yeah.
The other thing I would point out, the other thing I would point out is, gymnastics is a very different sport, right? Michael Phelps goes a little slower in the pool. Michael Phelps will be fine and will be alive. Gymnastics, it's most dangerous, and, Simone does more dangerous gymnastics than anybody else, really carries a significant risk of major injury and on the outside extreme, even death. And so for her to recognize that, for me to continue competing, I might not help my team. I might hurt my team with my gymnastics and where I'm at right now, and I may hurt myself. I think is a really big piece of it that's probably not getting enough attention.
Thanks, Rachel. It's Rachel Axon, reporter at USA Today, with us from Tokyo. Coming up next, does McDonald's give free refills on French fries? This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, anyone who does a fair amount of driving knows all the spots where police officers tend to hide in order to catch speeders. Never, though, has a cop's hiding spot been quite this obvious. The Bridgeville Police Department in Pennsylvania posted a picture to its Facebook page that shows one of its cars sitting behind a sign for a local deli. While the car would normally be well hidden behind the large yellow sign, the messaging on the sign would seem to give away the cop's presence. The sign reads, "Slow down. The cop hides behind this sign." It also mentions that there will be a fish fry on Friday between 1 and 6 p.m. The department seemed to take the outing in stride, proclaiming that the joke's on them. Turns out, though, the deli wasn't trying to warn drivers about the police at all. The deli's owner told Fox TV that the sign was put up a while ago as a way to slow down dangerous drivers, and the police cruisers never used it as a hiding spot until now.
Oh, so the place was just sort of bluffing.
Right, yeah.
By putting the sign there saying, a cop hides
here. Yes, yeah, because I guess there's a lot of accidents on that corner, so I'm trying to get people to slow down. But then the cops found it, and now they're going to, you know, hide behind there because it gets, you know, it's kind of a fun, funny thing.
You know, I was about to poke fun and say Bridgeville, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. PA. But it's not really. I mean, it's like southwest of Pittsburgh a little bit.
Okay.
They have a wing place there, okay. A pub and wing joint, a nice. Top golf. And the place is like pretty jumping place.
PJ's Deli.
Yeah, PJ's Deli. I mean, you know.
I like this. Whenever I bring up these places,
plenty of opportunities.
These places we never heard of before, you like to do a little research.
Yeah,
maybe a vacation spot. Yeah.
I mean, there's a Holiday Inn too. I mean, if you're passing by, it's a Holiday Inn Express. So, I mean, you can do it all if you're passing through Bridgeville, Pennsylvania.
All right.
Just an FYI.
All right. Another one on our list of many road trip spots. And there are a few among us who can turn down free fries. So, a lot of heads have been turning lately on TikTok over what the user claims is his hack for getting free fries at McDonald's. The user named Orlando Johnson posted a video last week that reveals how his friend was able to get free fries and has since been viewed more than 5 million times. Oddly, though, there doesn't appear to be any trick or hack at all. All his friend does in the video is go up and ask for a refill on his fries. Johnson's friend can then be seen walking back to the table with an overflowing large French fries container. It should be noted that the footage does not actually show his friend asking for the refill. In the comments, a debate sparked between social media users. Some users claimed it was simply McDonald's policy to give refills on large fries.
What?
Others had a different take, saying that if you're simply nice to the people working there, they might hook you up. In a follow-up video, Johnson asked the workers at the counter for free refills on McNuggets. Unfortunately for him, the request was denied.
Okay, so let's just clarify things there. You can ask, but you don't always receive. But
right.
if your buddy's behind the counter, I mean, there's pretty good odds that you might get the free refill on the fries.
Oh, yeah. I can't
probably
tell you.
Not the McNuggets, though.
Yeah, I can't tell you, how little food I paid for when I was in high school when friends of mine used to work at, like, Burger King,
really?
And McDonald's and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I as I mentioned before, I used to flip burgers at a Roy Rogers when I was in high school.
Yes.
But I don't know. They must have just not trusted me right out of the gate. I never worked the register. Never put me behind the register.
Nowhere near the money and nowhere where you can give your friends anything for free.
No, but I took plenty of free on my own, though, because the roast beef machine,
yeah.
I'd slice some roast beef when I was bored,
right.
And dip it in the au jus sauce and then just kind of just eat it like that.
One for you, one for me. One, two for you, two for me.
When I was on shift, profits were hard to be had at that Roy Rogers. Thanks, Mike. Apply for a loan with a bank and you might get free coffee. But Marcus by Goldman Sachs offers personal loans with no fees ever. So consolidate debt with a no-fee personal loan from Marcus by Goldman Sachs, or get free coffee. Go to marcus.com to learn more about our no-fee personal loans and other products today. Lending and deposits provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC. This portion of the program is brought to you by Capital One. Capital One has no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One NA, member FDIC. Last year was the year of time at home, riding out pandemic lockdowns. The American Time Use Survey every year asks thousands of people to track every minute of a single day. The Labor Department, which oversees the survey, paused data collection in mid-March last year because of the coronavirus and didn't resume it until mid-May, so some data is missing. But the New York Times says it offers a glimpse of how we adapted. For one, people last year spent 90 fewer minutes with people outside their own household. Seniors spent the most time alone, but it was young people, especially teenagers, who saw the biggest shift in their social lives. Teenagers 15 to 19 spent 6 hours a day alone, up from 4.5 in 2019. And with less time out of the house, Americans stared at screens a lot for Zoom happy hours, Netflix binges, or idle social media scrolling. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Four law enforcement officers offered gripping accounts of the harrowing violence and fear they endured while trying to defend the U.S. Capitol on January 6th when a mob stormed the building. Capitol Police Sergeant Aquilino Gunnell said he had multiple injuries due to the violence.
I've been on medical and I'm in straight leave for much of the past 6 months. And I expect to need further rehabilitation for possibly more than a year.
The officers' accounts provided a dramatic opening for the House Select Committee investigating the attack, in which former President Trump supporters tried to stop the certification of Joe Biden's election win.
Number two.
The Justice Department has concluded that Republican Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama did not warrant exclusion from a Capitol riot lawsuit that claims that the congressman, former President Trump, Trump's eldest son, and personal attorney Rudy Giuliani helped instigate the deadly assault. The DOJ finds Brooks failed to establish that he was acting within the scope of his office when he participated in a rally prior to the Capitol siege. Brooks told the crowd it was time to, quote, start kicking ass, and asked whether participants were willing to do what it takes to fight for America.
Number three.
At least two people are dead and seven injured after a chemical leak at a plant at a Houston suburb last night. Harris County Fire Marshal Lori Christensen says the incident involved a very small acid leak within the Lyondell-Bissell facility.
The impact was contained here to the plant. Harris County Pollution Control has been out doing monitor outside the plant.
The cause of the leak has not been given, but the Harris County Fire Marshal's office determined it wasn't caused by an explosion or fire. Republican Jake Elzey of Texas won a U.S. House seat over a rival backed by former President Trump. Elzey topped Susan Wright, the widow of the late Congressman Ron Wright, in a special congressional election runoff near Dallas. Elzey is a Republican state senator who finished a distant second to Wright in May. The seat opened up following the death of Ron Wright, who in February became the first member of Congress to die after being diagnosed with COVID. Get ready for another seismic shift in the college sports landscape after Texas and Oklahoma made a formal request to join the SEC in 2025. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey says the league will consider the request in the near future.
All right, here we go. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, Instagram to the rescue.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. An influential admirer is helping a piano player in Atlanta who suffers from kidney disease. Carlos Whitaker, an influencer and motivational speaker, was waiting for his flight during a layover on his way back home to Nashville when he heard pianist Tony Valentine playing his heart out while hardly anyone noticed. Mr. Whitaker explained in the video that he spoke with Mr. Valentine and learned he undergoes dialysis every night for 9 hours before playing piano at the airport. Mr. Whitaker decided to put a call to action out to his more than 200,000 Instagram followers to leave a tip for Mr. Valentine through cash apps. In just over half an hour, more than $10,000 was raised. According to Mr. Whitaker's Instagram page, the tips are now totaling more than $70,000. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.